Please get those Bibles and turn them to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And let's read verse 26. But I would like to include verse 22 also. Or verses 22 through 25. James chapter 1, reading from verse 22. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. And then our text. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. I'll include verse 27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unsustained or unstained from the world. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His holy word. For those of you who are visiting with us, we have been studying the book of James, and today's message is part 14 of that series. And our text, as I've already mentioned for this message, is James 1, verse 26. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. With God's help, our theme in this message is control your tongue. Control your tongue. And what I will do in this message is give you three reasons why we must control our tongue. And then at the end of this message, I'm going to provide three practical pieces of advice regarding the regulation of our tongue. So let's look at those three reasons why we must control our tongue. Here's the first reason. If we do not control our tongue, we deceive ourselves. If we do not control your tongue, you deceive yourself. Verse 26. If anyone, now take note, James is using the general term, anyone. This is inclusive. It includes anyone of those who profess their faith in Jesus Christ. Anyone of you professing believers. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Now, here James is describing a person who has persuaded himself to be religious. This person believes that he is religious, and yet he does not bridle his tongue. And James says to that person that that person is deceiving himself. A religious person. And by the way, in this context, the word religion refers generally to a person who performs external activities of his religion. This is a person who attends church services regularly, morning and then evening. This is a person who gives to God generously, a person who attends Sunday school and catechism classes faithfully, a person who helps in nursing homes and jail ministries, a person who goes to prayer meeting and Bible study and fellowship, a person who is actively involved in evangelism and mission work, a person who sings in the choir, a person who serves as a deacon or an elder or a Bible study leader or missionary or pastor. He is a religious person. But listen to what James says to this externally religious person. You think, James says, you believe you are religious. But if you do not control your tongue, you deceive your heart. You deceive your heart. And by the way, boys and girls, the word bridle in this verse is taken from, if you ride a horse, you cannot ride a horse without a bridle. A bridle is a tool or instrument used to control or direct a horse. So you put a bridle on a horse to guide the horse in order to avoid dangers. Now James says, if you do not guard, if you do not control or you do not guide, direct your tongue, you're really deceiving yourself. Well, in what way? This person deceiving himself. Well, think about this. So here you have, let's say, a member from this church. He attends church services regularly, very active in the ministries. And yet, he slanders his brother and sister in the Lord. He attacks them verbally. He backbites or he gossips them. And James says, you are a self-deceiver. Now, by the way, be very careful when someone comes to you and gossips to you. You know why? Because that same person who gossips to you will gossip about you. And really, one of the implications of this verse is that we should learn to not even entertain that kind of person. And you know, sometimes that person comes to you and will gossip to you in a form of prayer request. And I have received or experienced or met many gossipers who would come to me, Pastor Brian, could you please pray for this person? And then, really, the prayer request is, it's almost like an attack to that person. Pray that the Lord will change that person because this person is this bad. And I say, okay, thank you, but I don't really need to hear that. Be careful. And this person too, remember, James says, any one of you, this can refer to children who tell a lie to their parents. Or to parents who use abusive words when they discipline their children. Parents, how are we when we discipline, correct our children? Are we still able to control our tongue? Or perhaps you use abusive words. Words that hurt your children and not help them. James says, you think you are religious? And you abuse your children verbally? You deceive yourself. And also, the anyone in this context can refer to a wife or a husband who uses hot-tempered talk when they have a marital problem. Well, it is given there's no such thing as perfect marriage. There will be a misunderstanding, a problem. But how do we deal with that problem? Do we yell and scream and raise our voice unnecessarily? Are we hot-tempered? Do we control our speech? Oh, James will tell you, I don't need your attendance. Because really, your attendance is not the barometer of your spirituality. It is your speech. That which comes out of your mouth will tell me about what you are. So what can we learn from this? Well, here, James is calling us to examine ourselves. If any one of you thinks that he is godly, pious, religious, and does not bridle his tongue or her tongue, you deceive yourself, and James wants you to examine yourself. Ask yourself, am I being described in this verse? Do not flatter yourself. Do not think, again, this person thinks. He thinks. It's not that God tells him. He thinks that he is religious. James says, you deceive yourself. Because your assumption about yourself is false. And therefore, I want you to ask the Lord to search your heart. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 6, verse 3. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work. Test your own work. Examine it. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 4 exhorts us, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking. Oh, young people, listen to this. Crude joking. But it's not wrong, necessarily wrong, to make jokes. But when we make jokes, are we still able, by God's grace, to control our tongue? And then, by the way, notice what James says in verse 26. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart. His heart. It's, you know, sometimes we think that if I lie to you, I fool you. You know, sometimes we boast, I fool you. I deceive you. But James says, no. You are deceiving your own heart. When you cheat on others, you actually cheat on yourself. When you tell a lie to others, you tell a lie to yourself. And you show that you are a hypocrite, a deceiver, a cheater. You hear God's law every Sunday. You hear the 9th commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. But you slander your neighbor. You murder that person with abusive words. You destroy his reputation, his integrity. And by the way, if you want to kill me, if you want to destroy my reputation, if you want to destroy my integrity, my personality, and everything, the only thing that you need to do is spread gossip about me, slander me, say things that are not really true about me. And I understand that every one of us is guilty of this kind of sin. We use this tongue on Sunday to sing praises to the Lord, to read the Word of God. But that same tongue, we use that same tongue to gossip, to backbite. Oh, we are hypocrites. On Sunday, you are a worshiper. But on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you are a gossiper. Oh, let's ask ourselves, am I a deceiver, a hypocrite, or a cheater? A second reason why we must control our tongue. If we do not control our tongue, we damage our religion. And what is our religion but biblical Christianity? If you do not guard, watch that which comes out of your mouth, you can damage your religion. Look at verse 26. If anyone thinks he is religious, so this person has a religion, and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is what? Worthless, vain, empty, useless, profitless. And think about this. So you, in your workplace, you use your tongue uncontrollably. You say bad words. You curse. And you gossip. You slander people. And then your friends in that workplace, they know that you go to this church. They know that you are a member of Dutton United Reformed Church. What do you think they will say about your religion, about your church that you attend? And I tell you, dozens, maybe hundreds of Christians, members, have been stumbled or offended because of this kind of sin. And they no longer attend their home church. They would rather go to another church. Why? Because they don't want to see that person, the person who gossiped about them, the person who slandered them. So you see, you destroy, you damage your religion, your church, because of your hot-tempered speech and careless talking. And even the name of Jesus is damaged. Because you carry the name Christian. You claim to be a Christian. You have Christ in that name. And yet people don't see Christ in your speech. You know, it's so fascinating that of all the examples that James gives in this verse, he gives the example of uncontrolled tongue. Why not fornication? Why not adultery? Or idolatry? Why? Because the Bible takes this kind of sin seriously. It is a big deal. Because again, our speech is an indicator of our spirituality. What you say is a reflection of what you think and what you feel. That's why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, "How can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." I remember talking to a lady who was born in the Netherlands, but has been in the U.S. for many years now. She is a bit disappointed that when she speaks in English, people still notice her Dutch accent. So I said to her, "Well, please don't be disappointed, because your accent is an indicator of your identity." And I said to her, "Are you not proud of your Dutch heritage?" And then she said to me, "You know, you're right. I should be proud of my heritage." And then I mentioned to her that same with me. When I talk, people know that I am not originally from the U.S. because of my accent. And hence, people ask me, "Where are you from originally?" And I tell them, "From the Philippines." But I said to myself, would it be nice also if my accent will tell the people around me that I am not originally from this world, for my citizenship is in heaven. Would it be nice when we speak and when people, especially the unbelievers, when they hear us, they will say, "Excuse me, sir, excuse me, ma'am, where are you from originally? Because your speech is different from what I normally hear. There's something different in what you say." And then you can say, "Well, it's because of Jesus Christ. I am a Christian." Let me ask you, with love, young people in your school, when you talk, do your friends hear the accent of heaven in that they tell you, "You must belong to heaven"? Parents, when you work, how is your speech? The Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6 admonishes us, "Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Let your speech be gracious and seasoned with salt. Oh, are we gracious in our talk, in our conversation? Well, you might say, but Pastor Brian, you have no idea. It's in my blood. I have German or Irish blood, and therefore this is how I talk. Well, listen to what the Bible says. If you have the blood of Jesus Christ, and with the help of the Spirit, you can control your tongue. Pastor Brian, my father speaks this way. My father has a rough, sharp tongue. But don't look to your father, for example. Look to Jesus Christ. You see, James is not asking us to be perfect in the way we use our tongue, because that's impossible. Don't get him wrong. James is addressing those people who profess to be Christians but are not concerned with the way they use their mouth, their tongue. People who simply don't care. I don't care if I hurt you. It's me. It's my personality. No, let your speech always be gracious. Yes, you can be right in what you say, but be gracious. Let your speech be seasoned with salt. So why control our tongue? First, because if we don't, we deceive ourselves. Second, if we don't, we damage our religion. You make your religion worthless. Third and the last, if we do not control our tongue, we destroy ourselves. If you willfully and deliberately let your tongue go unguarded, you are like riding a horse without a bridle. Or, boys and girls, it's like you driving a car without a steering wheel. Think about that. How can you drive a car without a steering wheel? That's the picture. You live your life with an uncontrolled tongue. You will put yourself in great danger. In fact, there are several passages in the Bible that affirm this point. For example, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Again, referring to that person, you think you are religious. You think everything is okay with you. You give faithfully to the church. You are an elder, a deacon, and even maybe a pastor. But unknown to you, you are heading to destruction. Proverbs 10 verse 31, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. Oh, will be cut off. Proverbs 13 verse 3, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 10, whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Charles Spurgeon once said, gossip not only hurts others, it can also boomerang and hurt the one who starts it. You see, if you are a gossiper, don't think that you will not be hurt with what you do. By not controlling your tongue, you are destroying yourself and your family. So, what should we do now? Well, let me give you three practical advice, pieces of advice as we deal with this problem. And again, as I was preparing for this message, there were times that I had to pause. It hurt me. It pricked my heart. Congregation, I stand guilty. I felt like I was really preaching to myself. This message was for me. And I think every believer will feel guilty. That's why James chooses that example intentionally, because he knows that that's one of the major problems in Christianity. Not really adultery or fornication or homosexuality or abortion. It is this, that we fail to guard, to watch our tongue. So, first advice, get down on your knees and pray to God. Ask Him to forgive you for not using your tongue wisely and properly. Admit your sin. Perhaps you are listening to this message and you're saying, "Oh, I wish my friend was here because that message was really for him or for her." No, my friend. James is talking to you and to me. This is for us. And James wants us to repent of our sin. You know how often we are so quick to pinpoint the sin of others. Those who commit abortion. As if abortion is more grievous than this kind of sin that being described in our text. No, my friend. They are equally sinful before God. There's no such thing as big and small sin. And we must take this seriously. And acknowledge your weakness. If this is one of your weaknesses, instead of justifying that weakness, ask the Holy Spirit. Pray with David in Psalm 141, verse 3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Pray every day when you wake up in the morning. If you are very prone to this kind of sin, Lord, set a guard over my mouth. And pray with that hymn writer, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Now take note, filled with messages from God, not messages from gossipers. Get down on your knees and pray to God. Second, guard your tongue. Guard your tongue. David said in Psalm 39 verse 1, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle. M-U-Z-Z-L-E. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle. A muzzle, boys and girls, is an instrument that you place over the snout of an animal to keep that animal from biting or from barking or talking. Put that muzzle. David writes, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Children, do you remember that song? Oh, be careful, little eyes. I think last stanza goes like this. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. There's a Father above. Or there's a Father up above. And He's looking down in love. So be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful. You know, before you speak, think first. And that word, think, each letter of that word has a meaning. First, ask this question, the letter T from the word think. Is it true? So before you open your mouth and tell something to that person, is it true? Second, H. Is it helpful? Because it could be true, but is it really helpful? Will that person be blessed by what you're going to say? I. Is it inspiring? N. Is it necessary? Do you really have to tell people about that? And I think this is applicable when we, you know, nowadays we live in this world of technology, Facebook. Before you post something, ask, is it really necessary? Or maybe just keep it with yourself. There's no need to tell others about that. And then the last, the word K. Is it kind? Is it kind? Is it kind? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, let no corrupting or corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up or for the use of edifying, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. My friend, let's use our tongue to the glory of God and for the edification of His church, period. That's the only way that we can honor God with this gift of tongue. And then my final advice, go to Jesus Christ. Go to Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says, and I like this, For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow His steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in His mouth. When He was reviled, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but continued entrusting Himself to Him who judges justly. This is what we need to do. You know, sometimes when people gossip about you, really nothing you can do. You confront that person, still that person continues to revile you or to slander you. You know what? The best thing that you can do is just pray to the Lord. Entrust it to the Lord, like what Jesus did. And say, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. He did not revile in return. Imitate Jesus Christ. Not me, not your elders, not your parents. Go to Jesus, the one who did not sin. And if this morning, perhaps as you were listening to this message, you said to yourself, I can't control my tongue. It comes naturally. This is my, really, it's in my blood. No, my friend. By God's grace, God can change you. Why don't you come to Calvary and ask Jesus to cleanse you, to sanctify your tongue, to save you not only from this sin, but from all your sins, and be saved, and be saved. Let us pray. Lord, oh Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, for not using my tongue wisely. And Lord, indeed, take my tongue and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Lord, help me, please, to use my tongue to glorify You and to edify Your church. And also to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. To tell them about the gospel. Lord, You have convicted us of our sin. And we thank You, Lord, for that. Because that shows that Your word is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Lord, You know us. You know our struggles. And Lord, help each of us in the way we use our tongue. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.